Welcome to another audience interview presented by the Speed Art Museum and Kentucky Tourism. This is Doug Driesbeck, the publisher of Audience Magazine, and today I'm excited to catch up with Rafaela Plato. She's the executive director here at the Speed Art Museum. She's going to talk about her transition from the Contemporary Art Center in Cincinnati to the Speed Art Museum here in Louisville, the importance of the community and their inclusion in the programming and attractions at the Speed, and all the exciting new season of exhibits and attractions that we're excited to see at the Speed this year. So without further ado, welcome, Rafaela.
Hi, how are you?
We are doing...
Wonderful to hear your voice. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're excited. The spring is upon us, we hope, and we can't wait to get into that. So we're definitely excited to catch up with you today about all the exciting things going on at the Speed Art Museum. But first of all, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get here? How did you get into the arts and the curation of fine art at museums and all the exciting things that come along with it?
You know, I think from a young age on, I just loved looking at pictures, all kinds of pictures. Maybe I'm more of a visual thinker and a spatial thinker than, you know, some people, they are, you know, the understanding of the world is a little bit more based in written stories, and I love books, and I love plays, and I love going to the theater, but visual art has always just deeply resonated with me. I think the ambiguity, and that there's just so much in visual art that you can't quite capture with words. Like, the deep, deep wisdom of art is beyond words. Like, you intuitively grasp it, but then you have to look very, very hard to frame what you are seeing and feeling in words. So I don't know, from a young age, been really, really intrigued by pictures. Pictures in books and pictures in museums or sculptures or film or, you know, three-dimensional objects. And I've also always loved going to art museums. They've been, at times, places of contemplation for me, and places that provided a deeper understanding to me about the world and about myself. And I love museums as gathering spaces, and I love sitting in museums' coffee shops and just wandering through the galleries with friends or by myself. So museums and art have just played a really big role in my life from a young age on. And, you know, there were some, I had some thoughts about other professions. I thought, well, maybe I could be a lawyer or a chemist. I was kind of good in the sciences, and I think I'm a pretty analytical thinker. But yeah, just was very intrigued with art and museums. So did a lot of internships when I was in, you know, in undergraduate and then in grad school, and started working pretty early on in the arts, in like an arts publishing house and in different gallerists, and then I had museum jobs, and I just loved museums the most and kind of stuck with it. So my background is in art history and in economics and business, and so it's like literally been my entire life.
So you're living out the dream. That's exciting. And we're excited to have you here. Yes. In Louisville. And your most recent stint was at the Contemporary Art Center in Cincinnati for, I think you mentioned, just over 15 years. Is that right?
Yeah, 14. I was there 14 years. That's right. So I moved from Berlin in Germany, where I had lived for like about 7 years, to Raleigh, North Carolina. And then from there to the Boston area, and then to Cincinnati. And I didn't really know that much about Cincinnati, but the opportunity to work at one of the largest and oldest contemporary art centers in the country was really intriguing to me, and it was a very exciting position, and I had a great tenure there. They had just built a phenomenal new building designed by Zaha Hadid, and had expanded quite a bit as an organization, and so I really had the opportunity to think through how a contemporary art center shapes a global program of exhibitions and performances and talks, but also how the institution could best serve its local audiences through, you know, a lot of programming youth programming and family programming and adult programs and be a very, very viable, vibrant institution in the city. And we were able to do just that. So created a whole new lobby experience with a restaurant and a very comfortable, you know, sitting area and areas and art all around, and a new creativity center for really truly everybody who wanted to dabble in the creative process itself, which I think is so important, especially in the 21st century, that we nurture our own and our kids' creativity and imagination, because AI will be able to do everything else. And so had a really great tenure there and fell in love really with the region. Like, I love the region, Louisville, Cincinnati, Lexington. I think it's from a, you know, landscape point of view and cultural point of view, so amazing. And Kentucky has such incredible natural beauty and so many amazing cultural and artistic tenants, both in literature and art. And the opportunity at the Speed came up, and I was really ready to go back to a museum that has historic collections and is also committed to contemporary art. So the Speed just seemed like a perfect opportunity. And I already knew some collectors in Louisville because, you know, you really get to know the collector and the artist in your region. And so this is how it all came about. And I was very lucky to be chosen as the next executive director at the Speed.
Well, that's definitely exciting. You mentioned the importance of the community and that perspective of everything. And with some of the exhibits we've seen recently at the Speed, regardless of race or demographics or gender, the collections have really highlighted some of those important messages, including, you know, the free admission program that you had in Cincinnati. I believe I read a 400% increase in attendance, which is amazing. Louisville's had that here at Speed for a few years. But why do you feel vested interest in not only the community being a part of it, but access for the admission of the museum and whatnot?
Well, I think as cultural organizations, we have to serve all of our audiences and not just a particular slice of our audiences. And everybody, in my mind, should have the right to see incredible art from around the world and to have the opportunity to experience different cultures and different eras through the lens of art and the creative process and through culture. So this is why I think making an institution accessible to everybody and reducing all kinds of barriers, financial, physical, emotional. It's just always been very, very important to me to shape institutions that are inclusive and that are accessible. And yeah, the financial barrier, decreasing that on certain days or altogether, I think is very important, just so that people can have that experience with art. Art and art making is what uniquely, of course, differentiates us from other species. We are born with the innate ability to be creative and to imagine, you know, our futures, imagine our lives differently or the same or better or worse, whatever it may be, and bringing people into that space where artists throughout time and around the globe have where you can experience what they have imagined and how they reflected their contemporary world, what they were struggling with, what they were drawn to, what they were repelled by, because artists are, part of the present moment, in whatever time they live. So they are incredible gauges of our societies, of our cultures. And I find that a very, very powerful lens on reality. And I think it should be accessible and available to everybody.
So speaking of that, looking at the exciting new exhibit lineup for the next season at this speed, it looks like there's just what you said. There's a lot of inclusion in different part of our heritages and things around the world. You've got India, the South Asian paintings from the San Diego Museum of Art. Also some Native American art collections and Capturing the West by Tim O'Sullivan, Pioneer. Can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming season of exhibits and attractions and what you're excited about?
Yeah, so I'm excited about all of them because, of course, as art professionals, we make choices about what we believe our audiences would love to see. And so we fully believe that everything that we are doing and everything that we are showing will resonate in different ways. So the exhibition we just opened last week on Thursday and Friday, India is the first South Asian exhibition ever at this speed. And again, I think it's important that we as an arts institution bring cultures from around the globe to Louisville, to us at home, so that everybody has the opportunity to see what people in different eras created. And this is a truly special exhibition. The Mughal Empire was very powerful and vast from especially the 15th to the 1700s. And the creativity, the blending of creativity from Persia and then, of course, Hinduism, so Islam and Hinduism, was just magnificent. And the emperors, the leader of the time, were very interested in opening their minds to another form of spirituality and religion, and also, you know, blending their artistic traditions with other artistic traditions. So, like Persia or Islam and Hinduism coming together in that Mughal Empire, which is what is now India and Pakistan and Afghanistan, so broader than what India is today, just created some of the most remarkable art ever created. And so we have these masterpieces on view, and there's one, there's so many different themes that are just magnificent. There's an entire big section on the elephant and the role that the elephant played during the Mughal Empire. But then there's also a beautiful, beautiful section dedicated to what they call, the heart area, so love. And during that period of time, love, and it's true for us today still, love was defined as the love for a romantic partner, the love for your family, the love for your leader or your nation, the love for your God. And so these paintings, just with the most exquisite details, so beautifully, beautifully underscore these different ways of love that we are capable of as humans. And it's just stunning to me. And the craftsmanship is, it is so magnificent. They are so detailed. These pieces are so incredibly detailed and so just beautifully rendered. At times, the artist used a brush with just one little hair. This is how fine they are and how exquisitely painted. There's so many details to see, from flowers and trees and animals and elements of architecture and the garments that everybody is wearing. I mean, it's just astounding. The craftsmanship is, it's truly mind-blowing. So I hope that many people will have the opportunity to see it. And we have, as we do for many exhibitions, we pull together an advisory group of people who live in Louisville and call Louisville home, but have family connections or are directly connected to families in India or Pakistan. And they really helped us shape the overall exhibition experience and also the programming around the exhibition over the course of the 3 months. And we are so grateful for them because they've really shaped our thinking as we are learning how to best represent and celebrate the Indian and you know, going back in time, the culture of the Mughal Empire. So in the exhibition itself, there's a beautiful, beautiful soundtrack playing of music that was that kind of reflects the time of the Mughal Empire. And we have, of course, just incredible programs that evolve around the show. The entire exhibition is a visual feast. I mean, there's so many different wall colors in the exhibition space that are informed directly by, of course, the Mughal culture. And yeah, it's just exquisite, absolutely exquisite. So I hope that people will come and enjoy it. We are also, a little bit later in the year, in June, are opening a wonderful, beautiful project with Yayoi Kusama, a contemporary Japanese artist who is probably one of the most well-known female Japanese artists in the world. And we have one of her mirror infinity rooms at the Speed that people will get to enjoy. And there hasn't really been one in our like broader region. So we very much look forward to that. And then again, we are working with an advisory committee on the reinstallation of our Native American collection. And our curator who oversees those collection, Dr. Farina Zinga, has spent many, many, many months also developing relationships with elders of the tribes whose objects we have at the Speed and with other cultural bearers here in Louisville, and then also within the Oglala Lakota tribe. Most of our objects come from the Oglala Lakota tribe. So we've worked very, very closely with those culture bearers to really help us understand the deeper cultural significance of these beautiful cultural objects that we have at the Speed. And so that entire reinstallation will open in the spring, a little bit later in the spring. And the collection itself is moving within our galleries, and so it's all being prepped right now. So a whole new experience of what this collection looks like. And then you mentioned Timothy O'Sullivan, who was just an incredible photographer of the United States, and he photographed quite a bit during the time of the Westward Movement. So we are showing these just incredible sepia prints and black and white photographs that he took of important historic sites, such as the Native American dwellings in the Canyon, the Chantilly, and other just incredible natural landscapes that people discovered as they are as they were further discovering the beauty and just the cultural, the plethora of cultural sites as they were moving further towards the west. So these are just a few highlights of what's coming up. Of course, we always have many, many programs going on weekly, from family festivals to all kinds of kids and family programs, and of course, our phenomenal cinema program and talks and lectures and after hours. So, I mean, you could be at the Speed every day and get to experience a whole new set of wonderful things to do.
Well, that's exciting. Sounds like it's going to be a busy year for you, and patrons and attendees will have have a lot to look forward to. We're talking with Raffaello Plato, the executive director at the Speed Art Museum today. Our interview is sponsored by Speed Art Museum and Kentucky Tourism. So you just described a lot of things about the upcoming season. What, and you know, some of these exhibits are on loan from other museums or collectors or things like that. Kind of what goes into the planning and implementation for creating a season of exhibits like that? From the initial thought process to team collaboration to the end result of being live in the museum, it's got to be quite a process.
It is quite a process, and yes, you envision this quite well. So for very large exhibitions, such as the Mughal paintings that came to us from the San Diego Museum of Art, we plan several years ahead of time, just because, you know, loans have to be requested, and you know, there's just a lot that has to be orchestrated and agreed upon and pulled together. We also published a catalog together with the show, so all of that takes time. Exhibitions that we pull from our own collection, we can move a little bit faster with those, such as the Timothy O'Sullivan. But when we think about a year of exhibitions, we really think about the different artistic and cultural experiences that we are offering our audiences. And we want it to be varied. We don't want it to be, you know, all of the same, let's say, intellectual pursuit of or interest. So we are trying to provide a very varied program so that everybody who comes to the Speed has something to explore that they really love. And the same is true for all of our different collection galleries that we are also in the middle of reinstalling. So we want to be a dynamic organization that that is agile and swiftly changes over time. So we think about all of that, like what is the entirety of the experience for somebody coming to the Speed. And, you know, sometimes somebody, of course, visits and they want to see one exhibition, and that's great. But we also have a lot of visitors who come and discover something new. So that's really how we think of it. And we work with a lot of museum partners in the United States and oftentimes also with other countries. So, again, this is why there is a need to work ahead and, you know, shipping works of art, insuring works of art, installing works of art, all of that is a very, very, very expensive business because we are talking about very valuable objects that we are moving around, some of them hundreds or sometimes thousands of years old. So it all of it has to be so carefully thought through and orchestrated. You're planning ahead at least 2, 3, sometimes 4 years, and then also continuously thinking about our own collections and how we can keep that fresh and interesting and relevant, and how we can bring new stories and new narratives to the Speed, stories that haven't been told by people who were traditionally underrepresented or just pushed to the periphery. We want to elevate just a lot of different artistic and cultural voices.
Well, we can't wait to see all the exciting new opportunities to engage in some of these exhibits. And you can get all the information at speedmuseum.org. And looks like the times of you guys are open, Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sundays are free general admission from 12 to 5, and Mondays and Tuesdays are closed. Right. So there's plenty of opportunities to get there and check out all this exciting stuff.
That's right.
That you and your team.
Right. And then we also open, there's a free late Thursday evening in the month, and then there's a Friday late open with after hours. And then, of course, we have the cinema program, and that's always in the evening. There are screenings also during the day, but where we are open at 6 in the evening, mostly Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and often Sunday as well. So, yeah, definitely check out the calendar. Because there's a lot going on every single day.
Well, we really thank you for your time today and can't wait to visit the museum
thank
again
you,
soon.
Doug.
And in closing, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I really appreciate the opportunity, Doug. Obviously, I love the institution. What I want to add is that we're in the middle of building a really, really beautiful green space for the community that will be filled with native plants and flowers and bushes, but also with art. So when you come to the Speed over the next few months, you will also see some construction fencing and some workers hard at work landscaping the space, the green space around the Speed. So it's still very, very easy to get to the entrance, but it's just something that I want everybody to have in mind so that there are no surprises.
Well, we can't wait for that, the outdoor exhibit to be opened as well. So, well, thank you again for your time. We appreciate everything you do for the city of Louisville and Speed Art Museum.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening again today to another audience interview brought to you by Speed Art Museum and Kentucky Tourism. For more interviews, event recommendations, and information about the arts and entertainment in Louisville, visit audience502.com and look for us on social media. Have a great day.